what we are going to talk about today is start thinking about our lives after we leave Yeshiva. What we're going to look like and what we're going to be like after we leave. What is it going to be? For those who are already somewhat working or getting out there, what are your interactions like with people that are outside Yeshiva? If people come up to you and they question your religion, are they going to question why you do certain things? Are you going to be able to fight them? Are you supposed to fight them? What are you going to say and what are you not going to say when it comes to these things? You can beg indifference. There's no question. You can just say, like, oh, I don't want to go into it. There's no question. Is that the best way to be able to go about things and to get around the fight and just say, oh, you should probably ask somebody else? Or is it better to be able to take it on head on, to go and grab the bull by the horn, so to speak, and to be able to say, here's what I hold. And even if they're going to look at you strange, your coworkers, or the people that you meet in the street or whatever, even if they're going to look at you strange for your beliefs, you're going to say, well, this is it. This is the law. This is what it should be. What are you going to do? So I heard this idea from one of my Rebbeim, Rav Elia Levin. Rosh Yeshiva Shari Tzvi who sent this in an email, and I feel it's an amazing piece that should be said. Avram HaIvri, literally the man on the other side, was never intimidated by anyone, any nation, any person, anybody that came up against him. Avram was able to say exactly what he needed to be. He was a mamin, a person who believed in God, in a world full of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Not just the Ovdei Avodah Zarah in the sense that they believed in God, they believed in idols as well. People that were mamish Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that believed that Nimrod was a god, that they believed that a little idol that they could sacrifice to and give a dinner to was their god, and he started a revolution. A revolution against everyone, against the known world that he grew up in, against his father, against his mother, against everyone. See, Noach was also unique in his generation, a tzaddik among Rishonim. That is different than Noach was able to do such a thing. But whereas Noach acted in self-defense, he defended himself against the people, Avinu went on the offensive. He went out after people and he went to find them, he went to tell them, this is what I believe. Now, how does a person do that? How do you allow yourself to come to that point where you can thrive in debates, where you can go up to another person and tell them what you think and mean it, and really mean it, and say it in such a way where they can hear you and they understand you and they get it? How can a person thrive in such an idea? So it's obvious. If you believe the truth so much that it's just coming out of you. Well, that's what Avraham Avinu was like. He had confidence. The word is conviction. He had pure conviction for everything he held. And that's essential for anyone who wants to be able to say something to somebody else. If you're not convinced yourself of what you're saying, your arguments will not hold water. If you're a guy who's trying to argue about a Durabanan, for example, why it's important to keep Isuri Durabanan, and why Durabanan made Gezeros, and you're not convinced yourself, if you're not convinced that those Durabanans are important, then forget it. You will have no chance in a fight against somebody else, because it's going to come out from what you're thinking. If you truly believe the Torah was given from Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, if you truly believe it, then you will have no problem arguing the point against someone else. Maybe that other person doesn't want to hear you, but you'll have no spekos. Everything's just going to flow from your mouth, because when you are convictions, when you are true, when you believe in the Emes is just there for you. I'm sure there were people that went up against Avraham Avinu and just wagged their hands, and just said, shrugged their shoulders and walked away. I'm sure Avraham Avinu met those people all the time. That did not stop Avraham Avinu for a second. Didn't stop him for a second, and he realized the power that there is when a person has absolute conviction, when he knows what he's trying to say. So that's number one. A first thing is, are you convinced? What are you doing? Why are you here? Do you really believe in this? Or are you just doing it to pass the time? To make sure that it's there. What is your learning doing for you, and why are you learning? And if you don't know, then you have no choice. You have to take yourself back. Take three steps back and say, I'm not going to be able to talk to anyone. Because you don't have a choice. You're not going to fight against anyone. If you do, you're going to lose badly. Really, really badly. There are other factors. Avraham Avinu, in his benevolence, he was such a good person, felt a need to share the MS with everyone he met. He didn't feel like he should stand back and wait for somebody to come to him. He was convinced, yes, he had that conviction, he was convinced that he was 100% correct, but it didn't mean he had to go after other people. Avinu wanted, he needed, it's not wanted, he needed to share the emes with everyone he met. I mean, he was seeing his fellow human beings that are sitting in the world, and he saw them in pain. He saw what was wrong with them, and he couldn't understand. You know what? You know what would make you happy? You know what would make you a better person? I'm telling you, this would. If you would believe in God, if you had that idea, if there was monotheism, your whole life would change. And he told that to people. And he went out and he looked for people. Whether they looked happy or sad or whatever it was, he went up to them and said, I know how to affect you. I know you can change. And honestly, in his point, in where Avraham Avinu was, he had no choice. This was not a choice. Should I go out and help people or should I not? He had to. He couldn't see it. It was like a person drowning in a river. How can you not jump in to go save that guy? How could you do that? You see a person who's doing something so silly. So silly. And you're going up to him just as a muscle. He's putting quarters in a machine that clearly is broken. And he puts quarter after quarter after quarter. Dude, it's broken. Don't go anywhere near that. You're not getting anything out of it. Or a person who's not feeling so well. Person who's not feeling so well. And he's sneezing all over the place and whatever. And you say to him, maybe you should go up to your room. Doesn't happen here. Usually you preempt everyone else on that. But maybe you should go up to your room so you don't get other people sick. Maybe. Maybe that should be. See, there's a difference. His concern for every individual and society as a whole was so complete that he couldn't stand to see people who didn't believe in the truth. He couldn't stand it. See, it's a little bit different nowadays. A little bit different. He's dealing with people that are of the Avodah Zarah. And even though we hold that Christianity is Avodah Zarah lahalach, without a question, every type of Christianity is Avodah Zarah lahalach, and this is how we hold. Nonetheless, it's not the same type of world. We see a lot of people that believe in God in some way, shape, or form. He's going up against people who didn't believe in God at all. We might have those atheists out there. And those atheists, maybe you could do this too, but it's different. Society as a whole, he could not stand to see people that didn't, that had no idea what they were believing, and he couldn't stand it. And additionally, you have Avraham Avinu, the man of Emunah, was also Avram Ohavi. He loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, it's different. It's not Ahuvi, which is my beloved one. It's Ohavi. He loved me. Avraham Avinu felt it. There was a palpable love that he could feel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was his best friend. As if, when he was walking arm in arm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever he went, he didn't feel like it was a God that was so separate. He felt like it was somebody he was talking to just face to face. He couldn't stand to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu misrepresented or usurped by the other nations, taken away and given over to what they held, what they were thinking. He couldn't stand that. He took one look at that and said, it can't be, we can't allow this to be. That's how he felt. And when a person has that much love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't stand to think any other way, then how could you stand to see how they're treating HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You stand up for yourself and you say, there's no way. Just tolerating and allowing things to happen was impossible for him. He couldn't do it. His soul would have left him no peace. And this, again, three different parts to Avraham Avinu's entire life. Then number one, he mamish felt absolute emunah that he knew this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to do as our number one. Number two, a need to share it over to other people, feeling everyone's pain when they didn't get it. When they didn't get it, feeling, I need to tell you this, you need to hear this. And number three, he loved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He couldn't stand. Somebody would say something about your mother or your father, say something bad, what would you do? Stand up for their honor. What are you saying that about my mother and my father for? How could you dare say that about my mother and my father? How could you? You would scream. You'd punch the person in the face. You'd take them down. You would never let them say such a thing. That's how it should feel about a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You would never stand for it. For those who are married, somebody's saying something about your wife. Well, what do you think you're going to do? Just going to stand back, relax, and be like, he probably doesn't know. No, you stand up for honor. That's what you do. You stand up for the kavod. That's the idea of what Avraham Avinu was like. So when you analyze those kokos that Avraham Avinu used to make a difference, literally, and not only the difference in lives of different people, but in the history of the world, and
and he changed the entire world, the known world of what it is today. Abram is Abram on Goyim. He taught this around other people. It wasn't like Shem and Aver and Noah, who stood in a cave, sat in a cave, and learned to themselves and did not teach to other people. Abram even went out, then showed it to other people, and made other people think about what they were doing, who then went out to others, and then taught others, and made things happen. Remember, most of the people in the world, or the religions thereof, stem from Abram Avinu. Whether you want to call it the Eastern religions, which is the end of this week's parsha, with all the other kids of Abram, the B'nai Pilakshim, that went out to the east side of the world to create the Eastern religions, whether you want to call it the Yishma'elim, that take off the entire Middle East, or Esau, which rules over the rest of the world. However you want to put it, Abram's children are around everywhere. They rule the world. Rule the world. If you want to put it in the terms of Christianity, Hinduism, and Islam. If you want to put it that way, they literally rule over almost the entire world. So if we know that, and we know what he did, and we see with our very own eyes what he was able to do, with not only his children, but his teachings, well, then we have to realize that those traits are in us. You all have this, because you're all part of this system. So if it's there, and all you have to do is properly develop them, show yourself how to act in the right way, how to be a good person. Well, you have to say to yourself, Masai Yagiyu, Masai, my own deeds, Lamai Zavosai. When am I going to have deeds that are exactly represent what the others were able to do? We call them Avinu. We have inherent traits, whether they're spiritual DNA or physical DNA, we have traits that clearly connect us with what Avram was all about. And now it's time to emulate. Do you have ideals? Is there anything that you are convinced about, that you have true convictions about? Is there anything that you stand for when you say, this is what I believe in? Is there anything that you feel is truly important more than anything else? Do you really feel it's important to learn? Do you feel it's important to daven? And if you don't, then what do you really believe in? See, it's below the dignity of any king or any prince or any extremely wealthy person, anybody, to get passionate about the bears. That they show that this is who I'm passionate about. It's below their dignity. That's not what they are. You won't see, for example, even the owner of the Bears, and I know there are owners that are not like this, but the owner of the Bears, Mrs. McCaskey, get out there and show her, yay, let's go, rooting with a little pom-pom, going for the Bears. That's not what she does. It's a very proper, prim and proper, even though on the inside she's saying, yes, yes, I want to be there. She doesn't show it that way. Do you have convictions about shallots? You feel that there's a restaurant beyond all restaurants? Is that your conviction? If the greatest conviction that you have is that the best pizza shop in Chicago is Halavi, that's your conviction. And when people ask you, what's the best pizza shop? No, it's only Halavi. And you get more animated about that discussion than you do about anything you've ever learned. That's pathetic. That is mamish pathetic. If you get out there, and I remember this was discussions years ago, how Ken's was the greatest burger in the world. The greatest burger in the world. And I remember having discussions where sitting there, me and a couple guys from Chicago and Yeshiva, and a couple other guys are saying, no, there's another place, there's this burger place in New York, and it's the best place ever. And we're saying that you don't understand, and we're screaming. And then afterward, I sat there, and I'm like, that was the most pathetic conversation I've ever had in my life. Most pathetic. Arguing about what pizza place in Gula was the greatest pizza shop. Which one was it? Is it Jerusalem or was it Uri's because of the sauce? Because not really the pizza, it's because of the sauce. What kind of... Is that what you're so high and mighty about that? Have you seen guys fight about sports? Have you seen them fight? People kill each other over soccer. It's not even a sport. Come on. And that's what they're fighting about. That's what they're doing. They're killing each other over it. Killing each other. Can you imagine yesterday... I have a fun relationship with some of the guys on the radio. So yesterday I called up this guy on ESPN radio. I know Danny Zetterman, he's the producer of one of the shows. He's a Jewish guy.
Jewish guy from a while ago. So I called him up, and I called him up at 12:30. I wanted to see how the day was going for him. So I called him up, and he's like, "Hey, Zvi, how are you?" So I said, "I just want you to know, I don't think you should have come into work today. After the Bears lose by 108 combined in the last two games, I don't think today is the best day to come in." And he's like, "Are you kidding me? This is the best day of the year. People are screaming bloody murder. People want to kill the coach and the quarterback and the owner. Everybody wants, they want everyone to die. This is the best day of the year. All the people are coming out there, 'I told you! I said it was right! Yeah!' And they're screaming. This is like bringing it all out. They're more excited and animated now than they are if the Bears would win the Super Bowl. If the Bears win the Super Bowl, like, yeah! Here, they're like, ah! They're screaming. You can't imagine it. That's the way it is. You're that excited, that animate about this. Your chavrus is having a spiritual yerida. Your roommate is not getting up for shacharis. Then you're like, shh. You walk out really, really quietly. Come on. Sometimes people walk louder outside of the base medrash when they're trying to leave than when they walk out of their room so that they don't wake up the roommate. And that's not right. That's not right. Your conviction should be so much that you sit there and you say, if I see someone not davening, I feel pained from that. How can it be? How can that person not want to daven? Do you realize, Mom, do you realize what Klal Yisrael is going through? Well, do you realize what Klal Yisrael is going through in Eretz Yisrael right now? There are random Arabs walking the streets with knives, stabbing anyone they see. There are people driving their cars into bus stops. It is nutty. It's literally nutty. And there's, what are you going to do? What, are you going to kick out every Arab out of Israel? And I know, the national reaction is, yeah. That's not, you can't. What are you going to do? Well, it's a crazy situation. Do you not see the amount of immorality that there is in the world? Not just with Jews, with everybody. Hunger, disease, dictators that are just destroying their people. What's going on in Iraq and Iran? Don't you feel a little bit bad? I know it's Arab versus Arabs, and then it's okay, right? Do you feel a little bit bad that no matter what we do, you have thousands of people dying every day from crazy people? Does anybody know what's going on with Boko Haram? That is crazy stuff. They went into a school, took 250 girls hostage, and then married them all off. Married them off, and the parents are never going to see them again. There is crazy stuff in the world. Are you not conviction? Do you have no conviction about that? They're just like, yeah, I guess that's okay. I think there's an improvement that you can make. And that's what it means to be a Talmid of Avraham Avinu. That means to feel passionate about the world, about where the world's going, about what your part is within this world. And everyone here has a part. You may not be able to be Avraham Avinu. You're a mini Avraham Avinu. But you definitely can be something. You can do something. And don't feel discouraged if it doesn't work the first time. It doesn't work the second time. It doesn't work the third time. And I keep trying. What do you want me to do? I can't affect the world. I keep trying and I keep failing. Do it again. Because the fourth time will work. Or the fifth time. Or the hundredth time. The famous line of Abraham Lincoln. How many times did Abraham Lincoln run for office before he won? What was it, something like 12? Where he lost every election until finally he ran and he became a senator? It's okay to be pathetic. That's fine. Oh, this is a good line. But it's not okay to be apathetic. That you shouldn't be. You need to look that up later. Apathetic means you don't care. That's a good line. I'm just saying. I just made that up right now. That's for you, for life. You can say that from now on. To everyone here, I'm going to give you one normal step. Take a look at Aleinu. Just read Aleinu L'Shabeach. You do it three times a day. Aleinu L'Shabeach L'Adon HaKol. Just say it. Look at it through. Each time you say it, three times every day, you should reassert the fact that you are excited for the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do what He wants you to do in this world. That's the first paragraph. And the second paragraph, you're excited about Tikkun Olam, not the JUF version.
fixing the world in the way that the world is meant to be fixed. Make it something different. Reaffirm your aspiration, your goal to really change the world. I am going to make the world different because I am going to do something to fix it. I'm willing to do it. And if you identify with those two ideals of Aleinu Lishabeach and saying, I am an Oved Hashem, and being metakin the world, saying, I can change. I can change anything. I can do it with myself. Then you're a true Talmud of Avraham Avinu. And they'll say about you at your kever, after 120, he was a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. That's the purpose of what we're here in this world. And if you don't get that, learn how to get it. Read these parshios over and over and over again. And ask yourself questions. Figure out what Avraham Avinu was doing. And go through Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayisara, and use it as a mantra. And go through it again and again until you get it. Till you see what Avraham Avinu was trying to do. And I promise you, it'll change your life and it'll change the entire world. Everything will change because of your convictions, what you feel. Have a good week, everybody.